Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, head over there with me. I've personally been doing a series whenever I preach. I know there's going to be some hiccups there along the way, but I'm just going to keep, it's okay if I just stay in my lane and just keep doing what God's called me to do in this season. Is that all right? I don't ask our other pastors to share on what I feel like God's telling me to share on. They follow the Lord and what they feel led to, but I just feel like we're going after something and I'm going to keep going for it. Is that all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So we've been talking about increase, and the word really came, and man, in the midst of so much pushback, in the midst of so much difficulty, in the midst of so much struggle and confusion and hardship and ups and downs, I just felt like I just was feeling from the Lord. It kept saying to me, Isaiah 54, single barren woman, get ready, stretch the tent pegs, make room, get ready, because I'm going to cause you to increase. And when everything else is saying increase is not possible, I felt like the Lord said, put your eyes on increase, because I'm going to cause you to expand. And I've been given this word because I feel like I'm on this war path where I want to eliminate every enemy to the idea of increase. And last week I shared on really the theology and the foundation of this word increase, and where we've often identified, there's a false humility thing that wants to take the church out. And it really attaches itself to something in scripture that was never meant to be identified for new covenant believers. And it was the prayer of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist prays, says, God, my ministry is over. His ministry has come. May he increase and may I decrease. The prayer of John the Baptist was as an Old Testament figure preparing the way of Jesus. It was time. It was a transitional moment where the old covenant was being done away with. The new covenant was being established. It was time for the ministry of John the Baptist to end, the ministry of Jesus to begin. That was never meant for new covenant believers to identify with that prayer. Because Jesus prays something similar. When the disciples were considering Jesus leaving, he said, do not be worried. It's better for you that I go. And in Matthew 28, he appears to them and he goes, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. You go and go into the earth and make disciples of all nations. And he tells them to go and to increase and expand the boundary lines of the gospel in the nations of the earth. Our identification is not to the message of decrease, it's to the message of increase, to go into all the earth and expand the boundary lines of the kingdom into all the nations of the earth. We are called to be those that identify with the concept of increase. And so I've been laying this foundation, and today I almost embarrassingly am going to try to cover something that is such a huge topic, is such a huge and vital and important message that I'm going to cover this morning, the next 20 to 30 minutes it really doesn't do it justice. So I'm going to move fast, and I'm going to expect all of you to stay with me. Is that all right? I expect you all to fill in the blanks. So let's start. I want to present a concept to us. In the beginning, in the book of Genesis, we see the first unveiling of an enemy to the gospel, to Jesus Christ, and to humanity. His name is Lucifer. He is Satan. He is the fallen angel. And he appears in the Garden of Eden as a created being of a serpent. And he appears in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he tempts Adam and Eve, and he is called in the book of Genesis a deceiver. Our final experience with him is in the book of Revelation, the foretelling of the last days. And it speaks of Lucifer, and in Revelations it calls him the great deceiver, the beast, the great deceiver who has deceived the whole world, and his false prophet are being cast into the lake of fire. And so what we see from the beginning is he is called the deceiver, and at the end he was called the deceiver and he deceived the whole world and he used a false prophet as his witness. And then it says, Jesus said in John 8:44, he speaks to the Pharisees and he says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. And he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. Do you see right there that they identify Satan as a murderer because he lies? Jesus also said he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. How does he do it? By deception and lying. He goes on and he says, for there is no truth in him, and when he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. And so we understand that there is one simple task of the enemy, who in 1 Peter it says is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you would have life. And he's called the father of lies. That literally, it's his native tongue. Everything that he does is directly correlated to lying and deception. It says that from the beginning to the end, it's his primary task against humanity is to lie, 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 and lie, and get you to believe it. But then Jesus says, well, it says in John 1:1 that he is the word of God made flesh. It says that he says that he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And he calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. And he goes on and he says in John 8:31, Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. You will know the truth. And the what? The truth will set you free. John 16:13, when the Spirit of Truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. So we have to understand, what we have to identify is that there's two sides of this coin. You have Satan, who is a liar and deceiver of the world, who wants to take you out by lying to you and get you to agree with it. Yet simultaneously, we have a Holy Spirit that's been sent as a spirit of wisdom and revelation to enlighten the mind of your understanding, to understand what are the glorious riches of Christ in you, who is the hope of glory. What we understand is that there is a mystery that the Holy Spirit has now unveiled. You were an orphan and now you are a son because you believed in him. We understand is that our whole identity in Christ is directly correlated to our belief in Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, which you should be there right now. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down the strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I need you to understand something. We've wrongfully identified the scripture as spiritual warfare. It is like prayer. That we do not fight with flesh and blood, but we fight in the spirit, which means we pray. I want to present to you the scripture is not about praying. It is about disciplining the thought life of your life. He actually says that we do not war by the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh, but by the spirit. For our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. There's a very spiritual battle over your life. One is accessing the revelation, the Spirit of Truth, that unlocks all the rewards and the riches of knowing Jesus. The riches and the rewards of salvation. To know God and to know the Spirit and to walk in him and to walk in the reward of knowing God. This is the illumination of the mind to understand and to be aware of what God has done and what he's doing in you. The knowledge of God is who he is and what he has done. That there is a war over that knowledge, and there are lies that are attempting to exalt themselves greater than the knowledge of God in your life and to bring you into captivity. But the Spirit of Truth has been sent to wage war against the deceiver of the world who attempts to sow lies and to bind you with lies. It's making sense. What we have to understand is that when you believe a lie, you empower the liar. When you look at the Garden of Eden, God makes man in his own image, and he gives him authority over all creation. And he goes, I want you to name the beasts of the field, and I want you to steward all that I've created. Because you are made in my likeness. You are just like me. You are perfect. And he makes man. And he goes, and you can eat of all the trees, even the tree of life. Go for it. But do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so the very thing that man had authority over is the very image that Lucifer took on. A serpent, a created being, a beast of the field. And he appears to them. And what was the lie that he sowed? He said, God told you not to eat of this because he knows if you eat of it that you will become like him. Because you guys identify the lie is that they were already like him. And when they believed the lie, they empowered the liar, and he yielded all the authority that man had creation over, had authority over all creation, and now creation took authority over man. Sickness, disease, and the fallen nature of sin enters into mankind because man yielded his authority and empowered the liar. When you believe a lie, you empower the liar, but when you believe the truth, you unlock the endless riches of living and the reward of the truth. There are spiritual implications over the patterns of our thought life. Why does it say, against all hope, Abraham had hope, and in so doing, he became the father of many nations. And he did not waver in unbelief against the deadness of his wife's womb or his old age, but he was persuaded. He was persuaded that God was able to do what he said he was going to do. That hope was directly connected to a thought that had to be warred over. And when he warred against the lie of the unbelief concerning his situation, and he accessed the truth, he had hope. And in so doing, he became the father of many nations. His hope was directly connected to him overcoming a lie. And so we got to understand that there's a big battle going on. Yeah, it's a battlefield over the mind, but let's be real clear. It's a battle over truth and lies. And there are a lot of lies. And listen, I'm going to, in just like 5 seconds, I'm going to pick apart like thousands of years of the devil trying to work against you. You ready for this? He is not that smart. He's good, but he's not that smart. You ready for it? He's got one lie. That's it. He doesn't have any more lies than one lie. You know what that lie is? You are not enough. Every lie is rooted in an accusation towards your lack. What do you do in the garden? He knows if you eat of this, that you will become like him. You're not enough. There's more. You're lacking something. But they were made in the very image of God. Jesus gets led by the Holy Spirit into the desert to be tempted. And what does he say? If you're the Son of God, do this. If you're the Son of God, do this. And he tries to sow an accusation of lack into Jesus, because if he can sow the accusation of lack, then he can hinder Jesus from identifying as a Son of God. Every lie is directly connected to your lack. The Spirit of truth points you to the abundant grace of Jesus has given you access to all of the Godhead and all of the resources and all the riches and all the rewards. The grace of God has directly given you access to reap from the harvest of the finished work of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, that you can have all that you desire of the Father, eternal fellowship, eternal life with God. You can have endless peace and joy in all seasons and in all things. You have access to joy that overcomes and carries strength. You have the ability to forgive and reach people that have not done anything for you. You have the greatest weapon and the greatest resources and riches in the earth. And his grace has made that possible. Truth leads you into grace, where lies lead you into confusion over your identity, that you would actually begin to believe that you are not enough, which directly offends the belief that you have access to God. So we got to understand is that there's a war, fear versus faith, lack versus increase. Everything that God says about you, there is a lie that's trying to provoke you from understanding who you are in him, what he has accomplished in you, and what you have access to. All the lies are directly rooted to your lack. And you know what the powerful thing about lies are? They're believable. Because God will use your life and history as evidence to why the lie is true. But it takes into no account the accomplishments of Christ. Amen? I want to talk about two areas of lies that I feel like the Lord is inviting us into discipline, into overcoming. Is that all right? We're going to talk about two areas. Number one is this. I believe the Lord is calling us into learning and disciplining the habitual thought life of our mind. Learning to discipline the habits of our thoughts. And I want to read this again, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." This is not like a once in a blue moon every so often when something obvious comes up. This is a daily pattern of discipline of taking thoughts captive. Learning how to identify a lie and bring it into obedience to truth. Our thought life attracts and invites the host and hosts the presence of the Prince of Peace. And we have to understand, you know, where it says things like, "Many will become offended and the hearts of many will grow cold." Offense begins with a thought. "You are no longer a slave to fear. Fear begins with a thought. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give the enemy no opportunity. Anger begins with a thought. Be anxious about nothing. Worry begins with a thought." Every emotion that you experience begins with a thought. Every sinful habit begins with a place of thought. And what we fail to do often is connect the emotion and the experience going on in the soul with the thought that triggered it. And then if we can identify the thought, then we can identify the lie. And if we can identify the lie, we can bring it into obedience to Jesus Christ. There is a daily discipline identifying the world that we've created around us and why the Prince of Peace is not present in this moment. Why is anxiety overwhelming my life? Why has worry set in about this subject matter? What's going on inside of me? What am I afraid of? Why is there fear? Why am I angry? And if I can identify the emotion, I can follow the bunny trail to the thought that says you are not enough. How I'm listen to me. This will save marriages. Are you ready for it? This will save marriages. You have a bad day, and then she gets really upset about you having a bad day, and it creates a spiral of ongoing headbutting and conflict. Why? Because he's afraid and she's insecure. And she's insecure because you're not acting yourself. If you're not acting yourself, it's because of her insecurity that maybe something is wrong between us or you're hiding something and she's afraid of being hurt. And you're scared because you are unable to do something that you said that you were going to do, and you're afraid of the future and things are out of your control and you're afraid of not being in control. So you begin to emotionally detach and respond. She reacts out of insecurity, and then we begin to fight and we don't know why. If the couple would actually learn to begin to identify the emotions and go, "Hey, what was the thought behind the emotion?" we could actually begin to speak truth and set each other free. You're afraid that I'm going to hurt you, and so you're getting upset and you're defending and deflecting. I want to speak to the lie that our relationship is not on the line and that you are not incomplete and imperfect, and your insecurity is because you're trying to hide something. You're trying to hide your heart from me, and your heart is whole and complete in Jesus. You don't have to defend it from me. And I am afraid because I think that I'm the provider, but the reality is God is our provider, and I'm turning my trust, and so I'm not going to be afraid. And we can actually coexist and bring unity in our marriage because we're taking some thoughts captive and bringing them obedience to Jesus Christ. Yeah. Hear what I'm saying? This is not just a once in a blue moon. This is a lifestyle of disciplining ourselves to identify a thought that's an emotion that's been connected to a belief that's empowered the liar and brought bondage into my life. I can't forgive people. You can't forgive people because you don't know you're forgiven, and you don't believe you've ever been forgiven because you're not good enough to be forgiven, and there's a lie, you're not enough. Guys, the lies are there. I'm angry. Why are you angry? I don't know. I feel like what you're angry about, you should probably actually be sad about. Why are you turning sadness into anger? Anger is a secondary emotion. It should be sadness. Why are you angry? Do you feel stolen from? oh, wow, you feel like you've lost something and it's out of your control. Did you know that God's a restorer of all things? And we're going to speak to that lie that it can never come back and you're angry at the injustice of a loss that you should feel sad about. And God is sad the fact that you can't actually feel sadness, which is not a sin. Are you guys hearing me? There are lies behind bondage that's been created in the realm of thought, and God wants to begin to invite us in the daily discipline of actually acknowledging and identifying lies, taking them captive. And I see like a holy interrogation going on in our mind. Where did you come from? Who sent you? What is your mission? And we begin to bring everything into obedience to Jesus Christ, who is the Spirit of truth, the Word of God made flesh, that's going to bring the enemy, to hold him responsible for everything that he's ever done against you. That's cool, right? And then the reality is this, is that this realm of thought, this realm of beliefs can host the Prince of Peace. This realm of thought, this realm of belief can host the presence of God. What do you say? I came to declare the acceptable year of the Lord, to bring liberty to the captives, beauty for ashes, joy for mourning. Like he has come to set captives free. The word of God made flesh is unveiling the hidden mystery of ages and generations to reveal you're not an orphan bound by fear. You are a son with an inheritance and a calling, with a purpose and a plan. I know you by name and I'm calling you out and I'm setting you on a path. This is the reality that he wants to deliver you into. You are not who you were. I've made you as a new creation. Right? And the reality is that you can live in the realm of the Spirit because you have disciplined the thought life to hold every thought captive in obedience to Jesus Christ. Self-control is available. Some of you are just bound in habitual sin because you do not believe that you are good enough, that you are able, that you are capable. And you know what? That lie is so believable because it's kind of true, but not true at all. Because it's not you. It's entirely his grace in you to overcome sin. I keep going on and on. I'm going to leave you guys to fill in the rest and begin to apply it to your life. But God wants to invite you into disciplining the patterns of your thought life and to create a habit of identifying the lie connected to the emotion that's bringing bondage into your life. Is that all right? Because what? We're not fighting with flesh and blood, but with principalities. But there are spiritual implications over taking thoughts captive. And here's the second thing. Is this. This is my favorite. You ready? Go with me to Isaiah 43. I would encourage you guys. If you've been in our church for any period of time, you know I don't do this often. So when I say it, I hope it means something. I would encourage you to write this verse down. To put it all over the place. I would encourage you to take what I'm about to say, put it all over the place, because God wants to flip the tables of your excuses. Listen, and this is all in light of God is calling you to increase. He's calling you to take ground. He's calling you to expand, make room. I'm going to release promises and blessings over your life. Look at Isaiah 43 with me. 18 and 19, what does it say? Do not remember the former things. Behold, I will do a new thing, says the Lord. Now it springs forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Listen to what an excuse is. An excuse are fears that are rooted in a lie that have been supported by falsified evidence that keep you from stepping into God's plan for your life. I'm going to say that again so that you get it. Write it down, do something. An excuse is a fear rooted in a lie that has been supported by falsified evidence that keep you from stepping into your plan in your life. The prophet here, it says in Isaiah 43, he says, do not remember the former days. Do not think of the past. I'm telling you, I'm going to do a new thing. And what you once called a wilderness, I'll make a highway. And what you once called a desert that was dry and you couldn't get a drink, I'm going to cause wells to spring up in the desert place. If you remember where you came from, all you remember is confusion in the wilderness, but I'm going to make a highway. If you think about the desert, you're going to get thirsty. I'm telling you, I'm going to cause rivers to flow in the desert. So forget the former things. An excuse is a fear directly correlated to a former experience that tells us to redirect our path. It is fear masked as wisdom. It's a lie that says your experience has done this, so don't do that. You've been in the wilderness. You feel God's tugging you into the wilderness. Don't go in the wilderness. You know what happens in the wilderness. My past is my excuse. Is this making sense? It masks itself as wisdom because it looks like self-preservation that says, don't go there, you're going to get hurt. I just gave you some wisdom. It is not it might be your story, but it's not your promise. And it might be the way that you've gone, but it's not the place that you're going. Do not remember the former things, nor is it a prophetic word for the person sharing what God has said to them for their life. Your past mistake is not their future. And excuses and fears and lies can be imparted into the hearts and the lives of other people. When we begin to make excuses for why they shouldn't do what they're called to do, we begin to carry other people's offenses, masked as wisdom, but it's a falsified lie. Your history is not evidence against your future. Are you hearing me? There is no excuse to not obey God. There is no excuse to not pray through all things. There is no excuse to not give thanks in all seasons. There is no excuse to not take risks with God or to go on journeys of faith. There is no risk. There's no excuse to not be generous. There's no excuse not to step out in belief of the impossible. There's no excuse because you have forgotten the former things. You prayed for someone and they didn't get healed. That's not an excuse to pray for somebody when they need healing. Because it doesn't alter who God says that he is. And if you would apply your experience in the lie that was sown in your experience to the truth, it would dismantle the excuse to keep your eyes forward on increase in what God's calling you to. There's some people in the room, there is profound callings on your life to preach the gospel and to heal the sick and to love your neighbor and to build businesses and steward resources. There's a profound calling on your life, but you're making excuses. And you're making excuses because you had an experience that sowed a lie, and so you built a wall and you're not willing to go past it because you're being wise. Man, God is calling for some risk takers again. Some people that know their way back into the spirit again, that know how to pray through all things and to get the hidden wisdom of God that's hidden within his spirit that can only be searched out by the spirit of a living God, searching out the deep things of God and make it known to us. Your past isn't your source of wisdom. The spirit is your source of wisdom. We need some spiritual people doing some spiritual stuff that know how to get there and stop making excuses for being earthly. God wants to set captives free from lies. And I'll end with this. I think that's the second time I've said that. I apologize. That was a lie. Man, somebody hold me to the truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read this to you, then we're going to pray. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. But you have not so learned in Christ, if indeed you have heard him, and you've been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Isn't that amazing? Where he literally connects your spirit to your mind. and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and justice. That word renewed literally means to renovate. Like you bought an old house and you gutted it and you rebuilt it. God wants to renovate your thought life. He wants to take out the former things. He wants to take out your memories that we have mingled as wisdom and thoughts of God, but in reality, they were never from him. God wants to renovate our minds, discipline us to take thoughts captive, because there is a war, a very real spiritual battle, and it's a battle over truth versus lies. He's got one weapon. He's been using it against you your entire life. But man, the spirit of truth is sharper than any two-edged sword and divides between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It is stronger and more powerful weapon. And those who know the truth will completely be set free. And those that know the truth and are led in truth will experience the endless riches of the rewards of living in the truth and the renewed mind in Jesus. And that's so good. Why don't you guys stand with me?